I'm just going to make a few more comments and continue on that very good question yesterday that I answered from Kaveri Devadasi, and that was about faith in these stories heard in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Krishna book, the extraordinary things that we read about Krishna performing either as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the context of his creation or in terms of his human-like pastimes like the killing of demons and so many other supernatural, extraordinary things that we read about. And continuing on from that discussion, the real question which Kaveri brought up is, do I really believe that Krishna is God? And probably to help us answer that question, we should take a few steps forward and ask the question, does God really exist? Do we really believe that there is actually a creator, controller, overseer, all-knowing, supreme, who has created everything? And Srila Prabhupada argues in so many ways, particularly in his conversations and lectures, about why it's not really possible to explain the world around us, our own bodies, the laws of nature, without there also being a supreme creator. And that's one of the many standard arguments of explaining why God exists. He exists out of necessity. In other words, you can't explain the world that we live in properly, completely, without bringing in the concept of a creator. The concepts of a spontaneous evolution of the world from a Big Bang or so many other theories that they have, they're always defective, deficient. You can't get a comprehensive or a whole explanation. So we go to this question, does God really exist? And when we're convinced that he does, by logic, reason, and argument, and then as a consequence of that we have faith in God's existence, then there becomes no problem for inconceivable supernatural things to be taking place, because the very nature of God's creation is already inconceivable. So many things are inconceivable. The nature of the atom is inconceivable. What to speak of the nature of the universe and the structure of the universe. So that means the creator must also be inconceivable. And the next question then becomes, is not only is there a supreme, but is that supreme a person? Is God a person or is he impersonal? And I'm not going to get into the details of that, but Srila Prabhupada, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, his very motto or his pranam mantra is establishing the reality of God as being a person. And devotees know that everywhere throughout Prabhupada's books and Prabhupada's talks, he's always arguing and explaining how God must also be a person. Just like a supreme must exist, that supreme must also be a person, because an impersonal explanation of the supreme is again an incomplete one. And if we accept that God exists and God is a supreme person, then the next question is, but is it Krishna who's God? And once again, Srila Prabhupada's innumerable arguments to explain how Krishna fulfills the criterion of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So yes, Krishna exists, and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So compare other concepts and historical concepts of God and historical figures. Who most fits the bill? The general definition, Janmadiya Sujataha, as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we'll see that yes, Krishna does fit that bill. And then we come to that conviction, that faith, that yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus he has inconceivable, innumerable potencies and is capable of performing all kinds of inconceivable feats, such as expanding himself as Mahavishnu, the pores of which unlimited universes are emanating, of which ours is the tiniest universe. These inconceivable things can happen. Of course, even more inconceivable than that, because we're sort of conditioned to this greatness of God, is the humanness or the personality of God, particularly when that personality behaves in a human-like way, Naralila, then the concept of that great creator being a cowherd boy, taking care of cows, walking barefoot in the fields of Vrindavan, that becomes then a real relativized, at least within our minds, vision of God, and it becomes very difficult that how is it that God can do this? Brahma Vimohana Lila is a very good pastime to read in this regard, because that was also Brahma's problem, accepting the fact that a cowherd could be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then what to speak of the unlimited pastimes that Krishna is performing and the many inconceivable things that we see him do as a cowherd boy, and even inconceivable things that we see others do in relationship to him, such as I mentioned Banasura's thousand arms. They're going down to lower planetary systems in order to, for instance, save Madhumangal, Sandipani Muni's son, and bring him back to his father. Jarasandha's inconceivable armies, Maharaj Ugrasen's bodyguard of quadrillions of soldiers. So these are inconceivable, but so long as we accept the fact that anything inconceivable can happen by the will of Lord Krishna, then at least we can accept the possibility that these things should exist, even if we can't conceive of them. Why? Because we recognize the, by contrast to Krishna, our insignificance, how limited our minds and intelligence are, and how unable we are to actually encompass even the concept of the atom. What to speak of the concept of this universe. We just can't figure out how it works. And that is because we're limited, conditioned living entities. So in relationship to having faith in the inconceivable pastimes and abilities of Krishna, we should also keep in perspective our limited abilities, because implicit within our thinking and our approach to this world is that we seem to have an unlimited degree of faith in our ability to understand things, to comprehend things, and to grasp things. But our mind, our senses, our intelligence are all limited. Therefore, we shouldn't have so much faith in our abilities, and we shouldn't try to measure the unlimited power of the Supreme by our inability to comprehend such things. Just because we think that if I don't understand it, if I can't conceive of it, if I can't think of it, then it must not be possible. But that's an arrogant faith in our very limited abilities. Rather, we should recognize how limited we are and not have so much faith in ourselves, but rather have faith in those things that are unlimited and inconceivable. And at least we start off, as I started off with the question of does God exist, with possibility. If we accept that the possibility of those things are all there, and logic and reason gives argument for the possibility of that, and as we become more and more convinced of those possibilities, and we gain practical experience, our faith in those things increases more and more. So by accepting the possibility of the existence of the Lord is a person, that Krishna is God, he has inconceivable potencies, by recognizing our own limitations, and seeing that we don't really have the ability to actually grasp that which is inconceivable and beyond the range of mind and senses, then we can accept for the possibility of all of those things that are stated in Srimad Bhagavatam as being true. And when we see that those things that we can conceive of, anad bhavanti bhutani, life subsists on grains, the potencies of chanting Hare Krishna, the perfections of devotional service, these we experience. So the things that we can conceive of, the things that we can experience, those confirm for us the faith that we invest in them. They strengthen our faith in those things which are inconceivable. So the things that we can conceive of and the things that we can experience on a day-by-day basis in Krishna consciousness, they then become the reason why we should invest our faith in those things which are inconceivable and still beyond the range of our mind and senses. Why we should have faith in them. And does that faith remain blind like that? No, it's reasonable faith. It's faith in an authority whose statements I can systematically start to experience as I advance in devotional service. And when I come to the spiritual platform, when venam kvanvantam ravinda dalaya taksham, and then, as we sing after that, ongani yasya sakalindriya vrittimanti, when my senses, my mind and intelligence are no longer bound by the constraints of matter, then my ability to perceive and understand those unlimited things then increases exponentially. And I'll be able to have direct experience of many of those things in which I've had faith as something which is actually inconceivable. Until we come to the spiritual platform, it's extremely difficult. Not extremely difficult, it's impossible for us to have a full grasp of the spiritual or transcendental nature of the Lord, as well as His potencies. And even then, we get a glimpse into those things because we still remain limited, although Krishna is unlimited. So we should have reasonable faith. We should have faith in those things which are reasonable, where things are as we verify them as we go on in our Krishna consciousness. And we should understand that our ability to verify those things in which we have faith will develop with our increase in Krishna consciousness. And in that way, our faith will increasingly grow, as does our experience of those things in which we have faith in. Hare Krishna.